So we were at a meeting, leaders meeting the other day, and it was mentioned that there was no one available to preach on this day. So I volunteered, knowing that I had at least 2 weeks to prepare myself. So on the Monday, So this would have been the Tuesday. Driving in my car, my van, my work van, which is, it's a nice place to be in now because thanks to Andy, I listened to UCB2. I can't remember the last time I listened to secular radio. So you're driving around all day with people praying and worship songs on, so it's quite good. It is uplifting. So anyway, I'm getting with God. So some of you might identify with these types of conversations, yeah, so Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, armour of God. So I look, I'm like, puzzled. No, done that. So that was my answer. Done that. What do you really want me to talk about? Armour of God. Really? So, for the last week and a half, I've been going back over what I originally brought. And I was shocked, actually. So I want to apologise, because when I brought the armour of God last time, I just gave you a brief outline of it and kind of left it with you. But this time, I've kind of dived into it a bit more. So hopefully you may be challenged today. Yeah, or enlightened. We'll see. So you'll recognise the first slide, Armour of God. So I thought, I've already called it Armour of God, and I can't save it on my computer as Armour of God. I need to call it something else. So then I went with Armour of God re-examined. And I was like, no, I don't like that. Armour of God revisited. No, I don't like that. Armour of God explained. Here we go. We'll stick with that one because I was running out of big words that I could use. So, armour of God. So, as we all know, that comes from Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make... known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So that's what this is based on. And we're going to focus on the actual armour today. So I've kind of broken it down to give us a bit of background type thing, yeah? And I found it really encouraging. So this is for me as much as it is for you. Yeah, I'm not still up front because I've got it all right and going on. Yeah, I'm in the same place as you. Just to clarify. the belt of truth. So a Roman's belt wasn't decorative, it was essential, which I didn't realise. It held the sword and other weapons. It secured the tunic so the soldiers could move freely and fastened the armour together, preventing gaps the enemy could exploit, which I found interesting. Paul, the Apostle Paul, deliberately starts with the belt because truth is what keeps the whole Christian life from falling apart. The belt of truth secures every other piece of armour. Without it, the breastplate, which is righteousness, the shield, which is faith, and the helmet, salvation, lose their grounding. Yeah? So it's like foundational. Truth protects us from deception, the enemy's primary tactic. Truth prepares us for battle, keeping us from being no longer... In Ephesians 4:14, it says about, no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Yeah? So it's about standing, taking your position of authority that you've been given. So we're still on the belt. The layers of truth that Paul is talking about are as follows. Objective truth, which is God's word is truth, which is John 17:17. Okay? Personal truthfulness, which comes from integrity, honesty, and consistency. Yeah? And Christ himself, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, which is John 14:6. So the belt is both the truth we believe and the truth we live. Well, that's how it should be, yeah? I have good days and bad days where that's right. Do you know? Just being honest. So that's the belt. So we've got the belt. Everybody understand the belt, yeah? Cool. The breastplate. Breastplate of righteousness, yeah, which is what it's called in the verse we read out, or the scriptures. The breastplate protected a soldier's vital organs, especially the heart. I thought that was good. So in 2 Corinthians 5:21, in the NIV, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Sometimes, honesty, yeah, because I've just said about honesty, sometimes I read a scripture in a version like the NIV, and I don't understand it. It doesn't sit with me right, so then I have to look it up in another one. So the Passion is normally something I can understand. So for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. That made more sense to me, being a simple man. Yeah? So Paul says we must put on the armor, meaning it's an intentional daily choice. I love the word intentional, yeah, because it means it's deliberate. It's something we choose to do. Seek God's ways, delight in his commands, obey his promptings, and let his spirit shape your character. And that's based around Psalm 37 and Isaiah 61:10, yeah? And then it says, stay in Christ, recognize that your identity and protection come from being in Christ, not from personal perfection. And that's John 15:5, yeah? So that's about understanding who we are. I think we might be doing something on that, might we? at a later date. Okay. Identity is good. So that was the breastplate, yeah? So you can see we're starting to build up the armour. So we've got the belt on. Now we've put the breastplate on. And then from there, we're moving to the feet, which are the gospel of peace. Now, these are facts I didn't actually understand about the sandals. When you see, like, you watch all the films, whatever they, the Roman films, and you see their sandals, you just think they're just MABs, don't you? Moses Agro boots or whatever. You don't think they've got a purpose. But when you actually look at them, these sandals had iron studs for grip on any terrain. They're just like normal sandals, but they're designed for a purpose. Allowed soldiers to march long distances. And they gave stability so they wouldn't slip in battle. And this is the good bit. They were essential for both defense, standing firm, and offense, advancing. See, I've put pictures up of the different items. I couldn't get rid of the toes. I do apologize for the toes. But they just look like sandals to me, but they're actually early army boots, really. Yeah, with a purpose. Two purposes of the gospel shoes. Defensive, standing firm. Peace gives you stability when the enemy attacks with fear, doubt, or accusations. Yeah? So stand firm when the enemy attacks with fear, doubt, or accusations. You don't slip spiritually because your footing is secure. Offensive, moving forward. Peace frees you to carry the good news into enemy territory. You're ready to go wherever God sends you. Okay. Right, so that's the feet then, yeah? Shield. Facts about the shield. The shield of faith. What the Roman shield was like. Paul is referring to the scutum, the shield that's illustrated. Yeah? It says it was as large as a door, about 4 foot tall, which had me confused, because most doors in 1981. 7.26 wide, but that's just the carpenter in me. They're not 4 foot tall, are they, really? So what they're trying to say is the shield was big, yeah? They were curved to cover the whole body. They were made of wood, leather, and metal. And before battle, they were soaked in water, so that they could stop the flaming arrows. Or flaming arrows would be extinguished if they hit a wet shield. Okay? So there's a lot of preparation going into battle or daily life. Just saying. So more about the shield. What are the flaming arrows? So the sources identified these as the enemy's spiritual attacks. Accusations, you are not forgiven, would be one kind of an accusation, yeah? Another one would be deception, twisting the truth. Temptation, promising what God forbids. That sounds like an apple from a garden to me, doesn't it? Yeah, deception. Or fruit. Oh, all right. Okay, all right. All right. Someone always has to get technical, and it just happens to be my wife. Thanks, Linda. Doubt about God's goodness or presence. Faith is what stops these arrows before they lodge in your heart. the shield works best together. Roman soldiers locked their shields to form the... My pronunciation's not the best. Anybody know how to say that? Anybody speak Roman? Testudo? Mine sounded like yours, so I must be on the right track. Or, I mean, that must be Roman for tortoise formation, yeah? So if you picture a tortoise shell, it's made up of squares, isn't it? All over the... So that's what the Romans used to do to protect, to create a protective shell around themselves. Paul hints at this. Faith is strengthened in community. When believers stand together, their shields overlap. And the enemy's arrows lose power. She does this every time. Anybody got any arrows they can shoot at Anne? Ah, it's not wet though. Oh, that can be arranged. Yeah.
It's actually the Spartan shield, which was another great empire at the time. This is my shield. I bear it before me into battle, but it is not mine alone. It protects my brother on my left. It protects my city. I will never let my brother out of its shadow, nor my city out of its shelter. And the last bit, which there wasn't space for on the shield, I will die with my shield before me facing the enemy.
Thank you. Thank you both. Yeah, so where do I get to? So when believers stand together, as we've just heard there, to the left, to the right, behind, their shields will overlap and the enemy's arrows lose power. Okay. All good so far? Yeah? The helmet. So this is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is a piece that protects our head. The place of thought, identity, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Perception. The way in which something is regarded, understood, or interpreted. Okay, so we'll look at that again. So the helmet of salvation is protecting what we think, who we are, and how we see things, in a nutshell. Yeah? So if we're wearing the helmet of salvation, it should protect us from things like doubt, which could be, am I really forgiven? Accusation, we said earlier, we are not good enough. Fear, what if God gives up on me? Confusion, is God really with me? And identity attacks, you're defined by your failures. This is all untrue. So we can wipe this out in an instant by, I am saved by grace, not performance. I am forgiven and made new. God is for me and not against me. My future is secure in Christ. Nothing can separate me from God's love. Amen. I had a bit of a panic attack earlier when they started worshipping because it was only like 10 past and I thought, I'm never going to feel that, but I'm doing all right. Sorry? It's not a performance, no. Keep saying that, Anne, I might believe you. Yeah, he did, yeah. I was just a tool he used. Right, okay. So we're still on the helmet. Keep pointing at the screen, not the projector. It doesn't help. So in essence, the helmet of salvation means living with a mind that is guarded, shaped, and stabilized by the saving work of Jesus. It's not just being saved. It's thinking like someone who is saved. Yeah? Sometimes it can be easy to forget. I mean, I may do it on times, but more often than not, I don't. So, but I'm just saying, sometimes it can be easy to doubt. Oh, yeah, okay. So that's the helmet of salvation, which seems an essential part of our armour. So now we move on to the sword, yeah? So sword of the Spirit. So end the picture. That is the gladius, which is the sword that the Roman soldiers used. And the reason they used that is because it was short. It was double-edged. It was designed for close combat. It was precise, quick, and deadly. But it required training to be used effectively. This is exactly why Paul chose it. God's word is sharp, precise, and powerful when used correctly. Okay, so that's Paul's referring that scripture to the sword. So more about the sword. So what the word of God means here, Paul uses the Greek word rhema, meaning spoken or declared word. This is important. It's not just knowing scripture. It's using scripture, speaking it, praying it, declaring it into real situations. The sword is God's written word, actively spoken into the battles you are facing. So we said about defensive and offensive earlier. So the sword of the Spirit, why it's both defensive and offensive. So on the defensive side, Jesus used scriptures to block Satan's attacks while in the wilderness. The word exposes lies and temptation. It protects the mind and heart. And from an offensive point of view, scripture tears down strongholds of deception. It pushes back darkness, and it brings truth into places where lies have taken root. I like that. So scripture, the truth, will come into places where lies have taken root. So that's when we're being offensive and taking a stand and ridding ourselves of things that we know are not good for us. Like it. So in essence, what we've just put on, I can't see them. So we've got the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the gospel of peace, which is the shoes, yeah? Okay, so it says about making this a daily thing that we do. So with that in mind, I thought I would create, from what's contained within this, a daily prayer that perhaps we could all do, if you choose to, yeah? Can't force you to do it, but... So the prayer is... So what I'll do is I'll bring the prayer up, I'll read it out, perhaps we can all say it together. I know Simon's already done that today, but yeah. And then I have got some copies printed off, which I've guillotined really badly, but you're free to take them. The other thing you can also do is come up here and take a picture with your mobile phone. I'll leave it up, yeah? So it's on your phone, because we carry our phones with us all day. You all right, Sylvia? Yeah? I forgot it. Well done. You can help yourself to a free coffee afterwards. And I was doing so well. Yeah. Paying attention. Right, so the prayer is... Oh, there it is. Found it! It's here! It's there! Just checking, Emma. I knew that was going to happen. Right, daily prayer. Thank you, God, that I am saved by grace, not performance. That you are for me, not against me. That you have forgiven me and made me new. My future is secure in your hands, and nothing can separate me from your love. Amen. Yeah, okay. So this has meant a lot to me doing this over the week and a half. I've learned a lot from it. I hope you do too. For those people that are visiting who might want to look at it again, it will be on our website later part of the week. I have given the slides to the laptop, Paul, so there's there. So the slides will be available as well if you want to look at it again. But yeah, thank you.
I just want to say that if we do this, if we use this, this will completely change our lives. So when you go into today, if a situation arises and you're either annoyed with someone, you feel really insecure, what other situations are there that we all face probably every day? We're annoyed, we're insecure, we're anxious, we're angry, we're upset, we're frightened, we want to give up, we're confused, we're isolated. I think I can pretty much guarantee that all of us will feel one of those things today. So the challenge to us from this is that the moment that happens, first of all, we say, God, would you give us a nudge when that happens today? Would you just remind us instantly, Holy Spirit, remind us of this. So we get the nudge from God and he reminds us what we've heard this morning. We then start to apply this. So one of the things you can start with is, I feel a lot of things, but what is the truth? What is the truth? I can feel, I'll go for an and thing, I can feel angry about something. And I can really tell myself a whole load of lies about that situation. Well, that person doesn't like me. That person deliberately. It's all lies, guys. So I have to say in that moment, what is the truth? If I have a fallout with Simon, he's my husband, if you don't know, because I think that Simon's acted in a way that is disrespectful to me. So I feel that. I feel it. But what is the truth? The truth is that Simon's never disrespectful to me. So I may feel that in the moment, but it will not be truth. I, at that moment, can engage and decide to give my life over to the lie, or I rein in and I say, God, what is the truth in this situation? Think about the how. Sometimes when we feel like lost, we need to remind ourselves that we are saved. Use it. Use this today. Actually, in this situation, God, I'm just reminding myself that despite all of this stuff, I am saved. You've laid down your life for me. I have salvation. You are my saviour. Right, the breastplate of righteousness. Guys, it's like, what's the right thing to do right now? Like, I feel like mouthing off to Simon. That's what I feel like. What is the right thing to do right now? It's going to cost us. What, God, is the right thing for me in this moment? How should I respond? Ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The shield of faith. Like, sometimes it's just that, actually, God, I'm speaking out loud and reminding myself that you have my back. You are on my side. That I am placed among others who will also cover my back. The sword of the Spirit, like this is the sword of the Spirit. Like, if you apply the armor of God stuff from the Bible, that is like a sword in your hand, and you'll be able to kill off the stuff that wants to destroy you. The feet fitted with the shoes for the peace thing. I love that. Peace is not easy to come by, okay? Peace will cost you. If you are going to bring peace into a situation that has been inflamed, you will need to be ready to do a hard walk. Holy Spirit, help me in this moment. You know what's going on in me. Help me to be a bringer of peace. Give me the strength to do it. What have I missed out? Shield, sword. Sealed sword, righteousness, helmet. I think that's it. Belt of truth. So that's my favourite. I've said that already. So I just wanted to say, like, this is really, really usable stuff. It's not just an interesting little entertainment kind of get your brain working. It's something that will change our lives if we apply it. And I just want to ask you the question. You don't have to answer, but do you want to apply this teaching? Do you want the change that will come if you can begin to put this in place? It doesn't mean it will be easy. And it doesn't mean that God will say things to you that you're unable to do. And sometimes we can be in situations and God may be saying, step away. He's not saying, go in there and bring peace. He's saying, step away. So ask God what you should do in that moment. Don't assume that you should always go there. So Jesus, I thank you for this incredible and beautiful church family. Lord, we are family. And Lord, we want to do this journey with you. We want to learn every day to walk with you with that helmet of salvation, that belt of truth, that knowing the right thing to do, holding up our shield of faith that you have us with a sword. Oh, I don't know which way you do. With a sword. The sword of the Spirit in our hand, knowing what you say and the truths that you bring and using them, Lord, to change our lives and the lives of others. Father, this is the most exciting thing, Lord, that we can leave the Beacon Church this morning equipped a little bit more to stand firmly. And I pray, Father, a blessing over every single person here, Lord, that we would absolutely go out of that door knowing that we know that you have us and there is a plan for our lives. Amen.
Thank you, Anne.